saving money in your next project when you shop at Menards. We have everything you need for keeping your outdoor power equipment in tip-top shape. Ensure your lawnmower or boat is running smooth this year. Right now, all FVP lawn and garden and marine batteries are on sale. View our entire selection of FVP batteries today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all of the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Well, before Corey Richens allegedly poisoned her husband, Eric, with fentanyl in March of 2022, there were patterns. Financial pressures, marital fractures, escalating behaviors that to a trained behavioral analyst might have signaled what was coming. Well, you're in luck today because we have one of those with us. Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the counterintelligence behavioral analysis program, and author of many books on the topic. Let me grab this one here, sizing people up. This is a case we've now, you know, we've been talking on and off about it for I think since I've met you. Yeah. So 3 years or so. And you've talked, we talked about life arcs on the show. You talk about it in your books and stuff the formative experiences and pressures that shape someone's decision making under stress. Prosecutors in this case are alleging Corey Richens took out multiple life insurance policies on her husband, totaling nearly $2 million between 2015 and 2017 without his knowledge, then applied for yet another policy in late January 2022, weeks before his death. When you see this happening, it's not just kind of a one-off. It's not like, oh, way back we did this life insurance. It's like, and then, oh God, this happened. What are you looking at here when you see that kind of long-term positioning paired with the escalating financial desperation? What does it tell you about where someone is on their behavioral trajectory?
Yeah, she's definitely a serial deceiver, is no doubt what she is. And she's got a long life arc of this. And, it's really sad and interesting at the same time that we've seen from a lot of cases we've covered recently, Tony, this people with that grew up earlier in their life without boundaries. Mm-hmm. And she grew up in a family with a lot of affluence, Mormon family, and that cult of comparison, disease of more, I think, took hold of her earlier in life. And that image and money and finances became a huge part of who she is. And along that trajectory, as things became more stressful and she had zero ability to manage money well, because she was pouring out obviously faster than it came in, it became desperation, and that serial deception really manifested into serial control. And when she starts losing control and was confronted with it, it went really sideways because she placed her image and finances above people. So that total lack of empathy came in there too. But there's one thing, the thing that really struck me most, besides the arc of lack of transparency, which is huge. If someone starts taking out massive life insurance policies and this isn't a discussion with your spouse or significant other, that lack of transparency is a massive red flag. Because I guarantee you that's not the only lack of transparency, because again, the behaviors of trust are always open, honest communication, transparency, and vulnerability. She lacked all those things. It was always a show and a front. But that spike from taking out those life insurance policies, but the really one that got me was the poisonings or the supposed poisonings. So here's a couple with marital stress. And I don't know about you and the beautiful women you have in your life, your daughter, your fiance, but to this day, I've been married going on 33 years. My wife has never mixed me a drink or made me a sandwich and left it in my car, especially when we've been fighting. So those are things that would spike out of my norms, like, what's going on here? Because that's a deviation from the norm. I actually looked it up, as I do with anything. It's like, is this a norm for her, or was it an abnormal thing? And without a doubt, they pointed out that was an abnormal behavior. And so if your person that you're having a fight with all of a sudden starts wanting to feed you and give you beverages,
it's a red flag. Yeah. I mean, that should be like something. That should be something they teach in school. Like if you're having disagreements with someone and then they suddenly start feeding you out of the, then they don't normally feed you, look out. That's
those are clues.
I tried to poison
my
aunt.
And I'm not victim blaming, at all. You know, I mean, nice guy trying to do all he can in the world. But man.
I tried to poison my aunt once when she pushed me on the tire swing and I fell off. And I was, this was, I don't know, like I was 6, 7, I don't know, something like that. And my revenge was I went into the bathroom and there's a little cup, you know, for like rinsing your mouth or whatever. And I put a little hand soap in there. Would you like some soap, Aunt Jean? And that was my and she could see clearly there was soap. It was soap water.
Tony's arc began.
Yeah, and that was the first signs right there. Tony's trying to poison someone who you push me out. If you push me too hard, I fall off a tire swing. I might give you soap water. That's what the 7-year old needed.
When soap water popped up later in your life as well, it's probably a theme.
Exactly. Soap water is a code word now. I'm gonna soap water someone.
Oh my. Yeah, Dad, I hate laughing about these things, but she's so ludicrous that it's she's laughable.
It is. I mean, and the thing is, let's talk about. Because it was like a twofer, allegedly, because the first attempted poisoning allegedly came from that sandwich that was laced with something. He breaks out into hives and thinks he needs to use his EpiPen. She tells him to take a nap, basically, is how that ends. And he survives. And then just a few weeks later, for the Valentine's Day comes around. And then that's when it's the successful one. So it was like, she tried and then she tried again. I mean, what does that say about the personality? I mean, the watching your significant other sit there and suffer and go through this and freaking out. I mean, if she did this, that didn't even faze her. That didn't make her go, oh God, this is horrible. I can't go through with this.
He's an ends to her means. And it was, you know, pure financial gain, maintaining an image. And also, you know, people like her love to manipulate the perception of others and control them through deception. And it was totally doing that. That's, you know, why I'm sure we'll talk about the book. But it's because what she's going for the sympathy factor of others as well. You know, look at me, poor me, and, you know, give me more attention and give me all the money. And it's just the intellect is so low on these people. I know I keep getting poked at from now and then. It's like, you know, well, if they're so dumb, they're really playing you. No, actually, they're not. People like this aren't playing anyone. It's just that people are thinking too complicated when they're dealing with people like this. This is a very low thinking idiot individual because it's so obvious. They are so obvious when they're doing dumb things.
Would you kind of classify it where it's someone that operates under the ends justifies the means, like it almost we're talking in the Guthrie case, or if that is what it is, the breaking and entry, somebody that has done the mental gymnastics to tell themselves that going and stealing from someone is the easiest and the best route to provide for myself or my family. And it's justified because, you know, this old woman has all this or whatever it may be. I can apply that over here too, because we have the story here where Eric discovered in 2020 that Corey had withdrawn $100,000 from his accounts and borrowed $30,000 on his credit cards and then used fraudulent power of attorney. And he confronted her about it, even meeting a divorce attorney and estate planner. She did all these things allegedly. I mean, there is the receipts for it. Yep. And kept doing it until it was like, what are you doing? So there was justification in her mind for this over and over. And I'm guessing there was that, well, because of this, I'm entitled to this. I should just have what. And she's telling herself a story to constantly justify everything. But that those storytellers, they never, ever think that they're going to get caught or that they're going to someday have to share this story that they've been telling themselves in their mind to others. And it's going to need to make sense. And when it finally comes out, it makes no sense, but they've been telling themselves it piece by piece and discombobulated chapter by chapter. And it kind of made sense to them, but they never looked at the bigger picture.
Yeah, because they're rationalizing their own abhorrent behavior to themselves. That's all they're ever doing in these situations. And another prime example. I mean, you can see the pattern from all the cases we cover. Every single one of these people is a massive wound collector or grievance collector, in which they use that wound and grievance to rationalize and justify their actions. So, because remember, people, the laws of human nature, we don't want to think poorly of ourselves. And so we don't. We think that we're always in the right and the rest of the world is wrong. And in a lot of cases, they think the rest of the world is really stupid. And so when you keep cascading and you have life reps of this way of thinking, you really fall in love with your own voice and your own ego, because each one of these individuals also lacks that loving critic to give that objective look at their behavior. Or they're surrounded by, you know, sycophants that actually keep reinforcing that same abhorrent behavior. In this case, just living in a vacuum. Mommy and daddy provided this great way of life for me, and I got to hold these pretenses around in the culture and the society and the where I am in the country to keep up with the Joneses. And all else be damned, that's the most important thing. And if you're not going to support this, and if you're going to confront me on my incredible wacky spending sprees and everything I'm doing, well, it's your fault. I'm entitled because I was never given guardrails my entire life. And who are you to give me guardrails?
Yeah. One of my, I don't want to say favorite lines, but I guess favorite lines of the case, if you're to look at just the craziness of this, is after the sandwich incident that Eric didn't die from, she allegedly went back to her supplier, I believe the housekeeper,
right.
and asked, you know, I need something stronger. This is where the fentanyl comes in. But she's stupid because she doesn't know she asked for some of the Michael Jackson stuff, which is propofol. That's not fentanyl, totally different drug. But she's specifically asking for some of the Michael Jackson stuff, allegedly. I mean, that's pretty much what, I mean, does that imply anything other than she wants them dead? It's, I mean, I guess it is a sleep agent when like undergoing catastrophic surgery, or your Michael Jackson, which Eric was neither of.
Yeah, I'm just looking at my stats I have down right here. So it's roughly 15 to 25% of people, when they're confronted like this, will escalate into violence. And when it comes down to law of averages and probabilities, this is what women do when they feel like they're being victimized in some way, is they resort to this kind of behavior if they're actually serial deceivers and they feel like they've been wronged. They will actually go after the person that's wronging them, and poison's their number one way in which they do it. So she is falling right in the pattern of what you'd expect. So with no outliers of behavior, the book deal was really supportive of that. It's just unique and stupid even more, for other reasons. But yeah, she fits right in the pattern.
Patterns like this don't just exist in one lane of life. With people like this, the fact that this is how we've seen her interact with her husband. There's a whole other lane over here. Prosecutors alleging Corey committed mortgage fraud, submitted falsified bank statements, issued bad checks, laundered money through multiple accounts, all while maintaining that outwardly normal marriage and real estate career. The pattern of this behavior. It shows a modality, doesn't it? It shows that this is her only motor skill. It's deceive to achieve.
Yeah. And these are learned behaviors. You know, we're not born doing these things that way. And so I'm always interested in, that's why one of the first questions I ask when I'm doing my research is, tell me about her childhood, tell me about growing up, tell me about her parents, tell me about all these things, because I'm looking for where behaviors are learned, because genetically and biologically, there's few people that are really born with that lack of empathy and psychopathic in some sense. And so there's a lot of learned behaviors there cascading on top of potentially genetic and biological malformations. But we're learning it somewhere. There's some cultural things that are going on that says this is acceptable. And remember, when children first try to do something, you know, kids manipulate the living hell out of parents all the time. They cry, they whine, they kick and scream. And if you're not parented without guardrails and they get what they want, that's when there's no guardrails on, and they figure the world lives to take care of me, support me. And if you don't, you're wrong, because those are where those habits are first learned. And so they keep cascading on top of that. And that's exactly, again, innocent until proven guilty in a few days. But that's where these patterns are learned. And it's getting kind of mundane. We're seeing it so frequently these days in these other cases.
I'm not saying that there's anything criminal that's gone on with her family or her parents. I'm saying this. I mean, even there was an overdose with her mom's partner many a years ago. The partner died, and that was ruled accidental, I believe. Nothing homicidal. Nobody was charged with anything. There had been some comments from some authorities that, this looked a little odd, but that was pretty much where it was at. And in no way am I insinuating, and their attorney has said, you know, this is conspiratorial, blah, 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 blah. Okay. I guess on a greater scale, either even beyond this case, when you have a person doing this, I'd be really curious. We don't really do it very often, of looking back at the family and looking back at their pattern, their history, their relationships. Because I wonder how many cases you would find that there is something in a case like this where there is a parental situation where something odd happened, and maybe it was settled, maybe it wasn't. But you know, a second set of eyes many a years later maybe would be helpful. Because like you said, I mean, these are somewhat learned behaviors. Again, not saying the family did anything. I'm just, it's an interesting observation on human behavior.
Yeah, they always are. There hasn't been a case that we ever covered that I've said, all right, let's look back at, you know, the early family history. And so in every single case we've covered, and I've covered throughout my career, it always comes down to this. If someone is doing something really abhorrent, like such as this case that she's been accused of, it's one of two things that happened earlier on in life. One, they had parents or guardians or the environment at home that that gave ideas. Not say that they were, like you said, not doing anything wrong, but they gave ideas. They placed emphasis on things that were interpreted by that young mind as this is the must-be's, must-haves in life. And so if you are surrounded by people that you trust and feel safe with that have placed value of monetary possessions and things and materialism above relationships, this is what happens. And then when you do that in conjunction without guardrails, or lanes in which you stay on, in other words, accountability for actions, and you have a sense of entitlement, you have a sense of all these things, that's one way these things happen. The other way is that they're completely broken homes and a lot of dysfunction, drug addiction, alcoholism, homelessness. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all those. So it's either really, really destructive on the practicality side, or really, really destructive on the, hey, we're putting a false front on side. Mm-hmm. One of these two things, not in every single case, but in the large predominance of cases, that's why always I keep saying it. The first thing I'm doing anytime any case pops up and I'm trying to understand the behaviors of what is now in front of me, mm-hmm. I'm always looking to past, because that's where arcs begin. Arcs begin in childhood. Yeah. And the more we can learn about the things that impacted them, which is also key and critical, because I'm always going for every case, the investigator always winds up interviewing at some point the subject. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to have an effective subject interview where I'm trying to gain truth, inspire them to share things with me that might not even be in their best interest, free of judgment, in order for me to do that, I have to understand that life arc. It's that deep, deep act of empathy, because I'm always placing myself in their shoes. If I had experienced the same things in life as they had at that point and every point since, what decisions and choices would I have made? It doesn't make me agree with it. It doesn't make me it's hard to put words on, but what it does for me is it helps me understand, without agreeing with the choices they made, so that way you can make that connection. Because the number one thing that great interviewers do when trying to get people to confess, when trying to get people to take any sort of action, is you got to use the rationalizations, projections, and minimizers. You help them rationalize their behavior. They've rationalized it themselves, so they can see you as someone they can open up to. You project the blame. You help them be a wound collector, because if they're wound collecting, say, hey, man, you know, it's your parents that made you this way, it'll help them feel more justified in their actions so they can open up. And then you minimize it. Well, you killed your husband, but you know what? You could have killed more people. So it could have been so – you always say it could have been so much worse. You know, and to your point, I remember when we were talking about Guthrie a couple of days ago, used a beautiful word that I think was really effective, is – that we're saying Savannah's doing is that, you know, everyone sees you as a monster, but I don't. Help the world see you as not the monster that you know you're not. That's mm-hmm. that minimization. And yeah. so when you are using that kind of approach, the only way you can use that approach is discovering that life arc. And so that's why I do what I do the way I do it. So you can make those connections, so you can get people to share the deepest, darkest stuff that they otherwise wouldn't have shared. So you mm-hmm. can actually hopefully save other victims, save other lives, and put them away forever so they never touch anyone else again.
Inspiring them to do it is the key word.
That's
what speaks to me when I learned it was the word inspiring them to do it, because you always think manipulate that. No, inspire them. And it puts a whole different connotation
it does.
On how you get from point A to point B.
Inspiration. I'm sorry, because I want to emphasize that inspiration. That's why thank you for pointing out never manipulation, never subterfuge, never deception. Those things are about me and what I'm trying to get you to do, because people cannot be convinced to do what they don't think is in their best interest. Mm-hmm. Inspiration, when you can talk in terms of inspiring them to take action, what you're doing is you're helping them unlock it from within themselves so they want to do it. Because mm-hmm. when you have someone want to take an action, that's when you're going to get everything you need to get. So that's why I'm always focused on that.
Yeah. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. You can get the links in the description right here. Love to get your thoughts as we're entering here into week one in just days or whenever you're watching this of the Corey Richens trial.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.